Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the LA Kings 3-1. The skid hits six games for the Blackhawks, unfortunately. And this loss stings extra, Troy. You want to know why? Wait a second. Breaking news. We have our second proposal at center ice of the season. We witnessed one in Columbus, too. That was three. Look at this. That's the cheers that you hear in the background. Proposal at the United Center. Should we break that down instead of the game?
No, let's break the game down. Let's do the game. Right.
As I was saying, do you know why this loss stung extra hard? Because it was Greek night at the United Center tonight. It was Greek night. They passed out Greek hats, which, by the way, I'm still trying to get one. If you know a guy, let me know.
Was it really?
It was. Yeah. They should have called up Athanasiou for this game.
What's a Greek hat look like?
You didn't see them? It had a Greek flag on the side. It was white, blue, Blackhawks logo with blue stripe. It's very cool. I'll show it to you if I can get one. But yeah.
I might know somebody. Get one for myself.
for yourself. Hey, guy, I have a friend who's asking for this Greek hat. I'll take it myself. Disappointing first period for the Blackhawks that kind of carried over from the last two periods against Seattle. And then Hawks were much better in the last two periods, but it still wasn't enough to break L.A., one of the very best defensive teams in the NHL.
Yeah, for the L.A. Kings, 19 shots in the first period. The Blackhawks gave up 8 in the second and 6 only in the third period. So they did a better job. But L.A., as you mentioned, is one of the best teams in locking it down. Oh, now, a little bit late.
Wedding, Oregon. Atta girl, Carrie. She's on her A game tonight.
Yeah. But, you know, we were talking about the other night when the Hawks ended up getting out to a 2-0 start against Seattle and then giving up a goal, what, half a minute later, and whatever it was. L.A. is the type of team that if they can get a two-goal lead like they did, 2-0, and they scored those two goals in a 59-second span. So, you know, again, the Blackhawks, after LA scores that first goal, they have to be better. They have to be more focused on that next shift or next shifts to make sure that the lead doesn't increase, and it's exactly what happened. So now LA, one of the best defensive teams in the NHL, allow 25 shots per game. The Blackhawks only got 18, so well below their season average, but they know how to shut it down. And it's an experienced team and a team that is in a tough spot. If they're going to play the Edmonton Oilers, it just hasn't worked out well for them. But maybe if they can get home ice advantage where they've been so good, it might make a difference in that series. But once they got that two-goal lead, they really shut it down. And they really didn't give the Hawks a whole lot of opportunities to get back in the game. 5 shots for the Hawks in the second period, 6 in the third period. You know, your goaltender out of those 6 shots might have to make one quality save. And Darcy Kemper made a couple big ones, Reichel right in front of the net. That easily could have gone in, but he made a great save. So you look at the ability of a really good veteran team like the LA Kings to shut down, you know, a young kind of inexperienced team. But they do it to the best in the business as well.
Disappointing first period, too. Hawks were outshot 19-7, by the way. Shot attempts were 33-14 in favor of LA. Disappointing first period, too, because the Blackhawks were originally supposed to have an off day yesterday. Anders Sorensen calls, basically pivots from the original plan, calls the team in for a team meeting at 10:30. They show some not-so-pleasant clips, is what he mentioned after to the media, and then they go out there and practice. I had noticed after practice ended, they did their little circle, the stretch at center ice, and nobody said a word. It was quiet. It was a very business-like practice for the Blackhawks because they knew that the disappointing loss from Seattle. And so for them to come out in the first period and perform the way that they did, getting outshot 19-7 and also falling behind 2-0, that's got to be extra disappointing for Sorensen and his staff, knowing that they really focused on the habits that got him in trouble in the Seattle game.
Yeah, and we had Ethan Del Mastro on as our guest after the second intermission. I just didn't feel it was appropriate to ask one of the players to come in after the first intermission and try and answer some tough questions. Right. Don't want to put them in that spot. But Del Mastro, after the second period, said that there was some harsh words after the first period. And rightly so, if you get into a position where you would expect that the team is going to be focused on what they needed to do better defensively, and they worked on it, they showed video, and then to have that type of a performance in the first period where they just were scrambly, their puck management wasn't very good, it would be very disappointing to the coaching staff and to the leaders inside the room, and even to the young guys. I mean, anybody can get mad inside that room. It's the responsibility of everybody. But they were much better after that. But the damage was done in that first period. You know, like I say, they only gave up 14 shots the next two periods total. They didn't create a whole lot. But LA's the type of team, too, as well, that once they have a 2-0 lead, they don't need to take chances offensively. They can focus on how they need to be structurally sound to defend against a team that is struggling with their confidence, struggling to score goals as the Blackhawks are, and able to just lock this thing down. And, you know, for the Hawks, it was a tough struggle to find open ice in the defense, in LA's defensive zone to create those quality chances. I don't know. I mean, you look at whatever stats app you have or whatever it is.
What would you like to see?
The quality scoring chances.
Quality scoring chances.
I'm going to say, and I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I can't think I can read that far.
I'm covering my computer yeah. as if Troy can.
I would say 6.
For Chicago?
Yeah.
Exactly 6.
Was it really?
I'm not kidding. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need those stats. I got the eye test going yeah. here. And yeah. I would say about 6. And yeah. that's what it was. And that's, you know, that's not enough, but that's kind of what you would expect when you're playing such a good defensive team. And that's why in a game like this, the Hawks, you know, won both games prior to this. And the last time they were in earlier this month, they scored 5 on them.
Right.
You know, so no rhyme or reason. But at the same time, you know, you got to expect that you got to be really good defensively against the LA Kings team because they're not going to give you much.
The high quality scoring chances in the first period for LA, they had 10. Chicago had 1. They finished with 6. But the good news is the Hawks only gave up 4 high-quality scoring chances in the second and third, but the damage was already done in
yeah,
the first period.
Yeah, that's what
period.
I'm saying. I mean, right. LA doesn't have to take chances
exactly.
offensively. If they're behind, they're certainly going to be pushing a lot more, but, you know, you didn't see any odd man chances. You didn't see any breakaways against the LA Kings. They're a very structured veteran team, and they're going to have to be if they want to win in the playoffs. I mean, if you're going to play the Edmonton Oilers in the first round, you got to be almost perfect, and you got to be staying out of the penalty box.
6 straight loss for the Blackhawks. They're 0-5-1 over that stretch. They were building some momentum. They had a 5-game point streak, 3-0-2. Felt like morale was high. It was after the trade deadline. You get the Spencer Knight acquisition where it injects some life into them. Seth Jones gets traded after he kind of publicly wanted out. And so I think that getting rid of that distraction, Ryan Donato stays. I'm sure the guys like that he stayed. So it felt like they were trending in a direction where it was going to start to the second half of the season or like the last part of the season was going to be positive. And things have just gone sideways so quickly. How, if you're in that inside that locker room, whether you're a player, a coach, how do you not, you see 13 games left in the season. How do you make sure that your mind doesn't wander to, we just got to get to the finish line because you don't want to punt on the next few weeks of the season and totally lose the momentum that they're trying to build going into next year. Psychologically, how do the Hawks move forward?
Well, it's harder on the veteran guys, especially like guy like, you know, Patrick Maroon. I would assume he's going to be in and out of the lineup kind of through the rest of the season. This may be his last year in the NHL. He's won three Stanley Cups. He doesn't have to prove anything. But for him, it's kind of frustrating to come to the rink at this point, I would assume, and not be thinking about the end of the season. On the flip side, you've got a lot of young guys that are playing for their jobs. There's going to be a bunch of more young guys coming into training camp next year. Guys in Rockford, guys that are coming up from juniors, a lot of good prospects coming out of college, and we may see some of those guys before the season is over. So if you look at, you know, what the younger players are playing for, and again, you know, even mid-level guys on the Blackhawks roster, they could be playing for a spot on another team. You just don't, you know, realize that because you're focused on what you're doing here. But a lot of these guys really should take these last few games very seriously moving forward and make sure that they're prepared and doing what the coach wants them to do and get noticed. I mean, this is an opportunity for some of these guys to get noticed. I thought Nazar was excellent in this game. He won 9 out of 10 draws. I mean, you know, he's getting stronger in that area. He had a little bit of a rough night last game against Seattle where he lost 5 of 6. Those games are going to happen according to the matchups. But he's been much better the last month. You know, Bedard has been struggling at center, and they've moved him over to the wing to see how that kind of pans out here for the rest of the season. But, you know, there's no reason that these players shouldn't have something to drive them through the rest of these games. And I was there, you know, before, and some teams that struggled. But at the same time, you just, you know, you have to look in the mirror and individually understand what you need to do to help yourself, and then obviously to be involved in what the team structure needs to be. And even, you know, Anders Sorensen as a coach.
Yep.
I mean, he just can't let this, you know, this last part of the season ride. I mean, you know, he's going to be in a position where they're certainly going to look around and see what other coaches are available. He's going to be in the mix. But there's pressure on him as well to, you know, show the management that he can get these guys to play a structure and whatever that structure may be.
And that's probably why he pivoted out of the off day yesterday, because he's like, if I want to show that I can be head coaching material in the NHL, I want to show these guys that I'm not going to let an effort like Tuesday slide. And it's like, we got to go right back at the tape, have some tough conversations, correct it in practice, because he raised his voice a lot in practice, so he was very clear on what exactly they wanted to be doing during the practice. And so it's really an audition for everyone,
yeah,
top to bottom.
Yeah. Assistant coaches, you know, everybody is going to be looked at the end of the season, and that's the way it should be. You know, if you want to move forward and you want to get better, you know, do we have the right assistant coaches? Do we have the right players? Do we have the right head coach? You know, there's always an assessment at the end of the season by upper management to see where they can improve. And there's no doubt that next year's team is going to be a lot different looking than this year's team. But again, you know, you're playing for opportunities maybe within other organizations or here. You want to be here, be a part of this. But it's frustrating because you do have a lot of young players in key positions. And, you know, the hardest position to move into at the NHL level is the defensive positioning. And the Blackhawks have 4 guys on the blue line who are 23 and under. The LA Kings have 1, and the rest of them are up late 20s, you know, Drew Doughty in his mid-30s. So, you know, 2 teams at a different point. The window for the LA Kings is closing. There's no doubt about that, but they understand that, and they're you know, they've added to the mix, you know, to try and get better. But, you know, you look at Kopitar, 37, and, you know, Doughty is 35, so those are kind of your 2 guys that have been around forever, and they do have some younger guys on the roster that are going to be a big factor moving forward, like Quentin Byfield, who took him a few years before he got to the level where he needs to be now. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, second, third periods were good, but too little, too late. And you end up losing the game. And another empty net goal. My goodness, 20 on the season, that's a lot.
That's a wild stat when you threw that out there. It's a lot of minuses for whoever's on the ice.
Well, it really is. And honestly, when you look at Connor Bedard, he's minus 37 now because right. He was minus 1 in this game. And that's the worst level in the NHL. But you got, you know, a difference of 15, minus 15 in empty net goals. That's a big difference. That cuts us, you know, plus minus in half, basically. So it's been frustrating for the Blackhawks. The good thing is that they've been within a goal or two to be able to be in a position to pull their goaltender, but they certainly haven't had a whole lot of luck. I think they're 5-20 now.
Yeah. If you just evaluate Connor Bedard at 5-on-5, his rating is a minus 18, is what I'm looking up. So, I mean, it's literally, I'm sure, because you throw in shorthanded goals as well. I mean, it's not as poor as the minus 37, like you're saying.
Yeah, so you take 15 off that, is it? It's 22, right. So that's right where you kind of need to be. So,
right, exactly.
So, you know, that, and that's, you know, on a team where the goal differential is so magnified, that minus 18 is not bad.
Right.
I mean, his plus minus last year, I think, was 40 something, which wasn't good, but, you know, he was just 18-year-old kid trying to figure out what was going on. But when you take away the empty net goals, it doesn't look as bad as it is.
Right. The bad news in this game looked like Colton Dock suffered an injury, I think to his left wrist, the way that he fell on the ice and was trying to brace himself, and he was still holding his stick, and it looked like his left wrist snapped. We're waiting for word on what Anders Sorensen says, but it did not look good. He tried staying on the bench. He was laboring, goes off to the tunnel, so I'm not sure how long he might be out for, if he is going to miss any games. But that would be a tough loss, too, because we talk about the evaluation process of these final 13 games. You want to try to grow as big of a sample size to these young players so that way you can go into the summer with some sort of idea of what roles these guys might play in the future.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those young guys are playing for spots moving forward. And if it's a significant injury to Colton, you know, that's going to hurt his sample size, as you say. And you know, he's had some concussion problems. Kirby broke his wrist in the World Juniors. He blew out his knee for the second consecutive season. You know, he's been out. I mean, it's just...
Got to put bubble wrap on those boys.
Yeah, and they're both big men, but, you know, can't stay away from the injury bug, which is unfortunate there. That looks serious. I mean, that, you know, the way that he was skating off the ice, his arm was dragging down there, and there was certainly something wrong. And I guess maybe when they looked at it on the bench, they realized, hey, the good thing is they, you know, if it's something like that, for sure they're going to go over. Every facility in the NHL now has to have an x-ray machine on site and an x-ray technician, so they'll get a real good idea tonight if there's any kind of a break or something like that. Whether we get to find out that tonight or not, I don't know.
All right, last thing. There was a toast to Harry Carey's the other day, and I guess, I don't know who was telling this story. I think Chelly was telling the story about, I don't know if you were involved with MJ, Richard Dent, and Chelly. Were you part of this?
Nope.
Nope?
Nope.
No? Okay. You weren't?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, well, then there was a follow-up story to it that says, ask Troy about whether he was the first guy to have a cell phone on the team. Is that true? Like, what is that about?
Well, I don't know. I had one of the first cell phones that came out. You had a big battery pack that you
like
had.
A pager?
No, like it was like a big battery pack that you had to lug around, like a knapsack that had the battery in it. But boy, you thought you were pretty cool.
Yeah, not the typical iPhone 35, whatever number we're on. So anyway, somebody told me to ask you about that. I wanted to put you on the spot, make you uncomfortable, see where I was going with that.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with that. Maybe right, I was with those guys. I don't know.
It was God might not remember. Oh, man. All right, Blackhawks fall to the LA Kings 3-1. Sixth straight defeat for the Blackhawks, who got outshot 33-18 in this game. We'll have more on the other side as we get some sound from the post-game locker room to hear what the reaction was from some of the players. Blackhawks post-game show is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Here's Bertuzzi back into the King zone along the right boards, leaving the puck for Donato to Teravainen in top of the circle. To Bertuzzi, bottom of the circle, fed the left circle, a shot, they score! Connor Bedard let it rip from the left circle, a nice little snapshot, beats Kemper on the short side. And the Hawks get a power play goal. They're on the board, trailing 2-1.
back here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Chicago falls to LA 3-1. That highlight you heard was really the only positive highlight of the game for the Blackhawks. It was Connor Bedard's 19th goal of the season. 9 of his 19 goals this season have been on the power play, and it's the second straight game that he found the back of the net on the power play. The Hawks were 0-for-12 on the man advantage going into the Seattle game, and now they have back-to-back games with a power play goal, although I didn't think that the Hawks' power play really generated much outside of that goal by Connor Bedard in this game. So unfortunately for Chicago, they don't have much to show for it. That was Bedard's second straight game with a goal. He had one goal in his previous 13 games. So hopefully the floodgates are slowly starting to open for Connor Bedard. He spoke to the media a little bit ago after this 3-1 loss. Let's hear what he had to say.
Like you were doing enough in the final 30 or 40 to even that up?
Yeah, I think we had a couple looks. You know, obviously after your first period we got a lot better. I think, you know, we didn't create enough, you know, 5-on-5 probably, and that's kind of where the difference was.
The starts the last couple of games have been pretty good, and then today that was the problem. What do you attribute that to today?
I don't know. I mean, they came out flying, and yeah, I think that they just took it to us, and we gotta, you know, try to, you know, take it to them and set the tone early. And yeah, I think they just got energy off the first few shifts.
We've talked about goals winning a lot for reason. Just how big was Spencer giving you an opportunity?
Yeah, he played great. I mean, you know, a couple of huge saves there when we're down a goal and we're pressing, and you know, to see if they get another one, that's two goal deficit is going to be tough. So you know, just big saves, so calm, and you know, so we feel comfortable with both of those guys.
Thanks for first back to back games with power play goals. Was that a really good look by Bertuzzi?
Yeah, it was a nice pass.
Is it getting tougher to stay motivated game to game with the season kind of winding down here?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, you want to be, you know, playing important games and stuff, but, you know, for us, we got so many young guys and stuff that every game's important just for growth and, you know, trying to improve. And, you know, we're not fighting for a playoff spot or anything, but we're trying to get better, and we're still competitors. We want to win, so. In the end, playing hockey is fun, and you know, we're always excited to go out there, especially when, you know, we're in front of our fans.
How comfortable were you playing the wing and kind of interchanging with Frank?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, I've played a bit of both positions, obviously more center, but you know, once you're out there, it's not positionless, but it's whoever's back first is going to take that spot. And even when I'm center, I find myself on the wall a little bit, so. Obviously, I can, you know, keep improving on that that area, but, you know, I feel comfortable.
Is that easier when there's three centers on the line? Basically, you're all just kind of interchangeable.
Yeah, it's kind of like I said. Whoever's back first is gonna, you know, play that role. And obviously, it's nice with Dickey, Frank, and myself. We can have a guy on the strong side at every faceoff, which is good. So, you know, there's definitely benefit to that.
Is there anything working in particular with the power play lately?
I mean, what are we, seventh in the league? So I think we're doing pretty good all year. But honestly, tonight I didn't think we were that great, and we ended up benefiting. But, you know, I think we've been pretty good all year.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard talking about this 3-1 loss to L.A. Last game against Seattle, Connor finished with 15:29 of ice time, which was the lowest he's ever had in a game in the NHL outside of the New Jersey game last year when he suffered the broken jaw in the first period. And he finished with 22:38 of ice time in this game, 9:12 in the third period. And on the final stretch of the Blackhawks in the third period when they were pushing with the extra attacker on, he was out there for 2 minutes and 45 seconds straight. So that was a really long shift by Connor. Obviously, there was that timeout in there that kind of broke it up. But I thought Connor was noticeable in this game. Like I think his line had some chances in the second and third periods. So good to see him find the back of the net for the second straight game after he had just one goal in his previous 13 games. Tyler Bertuzzi picked up an assist. It was a great pass on the Connor Bedard goal. You could see Connor point directly to Tyler right after that goal was scored. It was the, I think Bertuzzi was on a five-game point drought prior to the Seattle game, and so now he's got back-to-back games with at least a point. He had two in Seattle with a goal and an assist. Let's hear what Tyler Bertuzzi had to say about this loss to L.A.
The start of this one, did you guys feel like you were doing enough over the last, the third and part of the second to at least get a point out of this one?
Yeah, we had a really good second, which kept us in the game, and obviously had our looks in the third to tie it up. Fell short.
You talked about goaltending a lot this season, but you know, since he's gotten here, how key has Spencer Knight been for you all?
Yeah, he's been really good for us. He's keeping us in games, obviously, tonight. Gave up a lot in the first, and he kept us in it. Yeah, he's been awesome for us.
Can you kind of lay out what unfolded with your pass up to Bedard for the power play goal?
I was going to pass it to Turbo, and he was kind of covered, so I waited a second and saw Betsy.
You said that the power play could have been better tonight. I know Leshinov had that slashing penalty, but what's your thoughts on the power play tonight?
Yeah, our first power play wasn't good. Obviously, we capitalized on the second one, but it still wasn't that good. It's been good all year. We'll get back at it.
Was it tough to go through the scoring drought that you did and then to get off of that the last couple of games?
Yeah, no, it felt good.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi, a man of many words. Picked up his 19th assist of the season for the Blackhawks, who lost to the LA Kings 3-1. We have more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show. We'll hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen on the other side of the break, right here on 720 WGN.
To the deep slot, Leshinov fires. That's blocked to the far boards. Fogel clears to the line. Kept in by Leshinov, who dropped it down toward the corner. Edmondson will fire from the King zone all the way down into the empty net. He scores. It's now 3-1 in favor of L.A. with 17 seconds left on the clock for period number three.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show here at the United Center, the Hawks fall to the L.A. Kings 3-1. That was Joel Edmondson scoring the empty netter for L.A. with 17.7 seconds left. It was the 20th empty net goal allowed for the Blackhawks this season. I imagine that's got to be a league high. That is a very high number. We were talking earlier with Troy Murray how Connor Bedard is a minus 37, which is, I think, the dead last in the NHL now. But if you get rid of those empty netters and the shorties, his 5-on-5 goal differential, or plus minus, whatever you want to call it, is minus 18. So it's not as terrible if you eliminate some of those the 20 empty netters. I imagine Connor has been on the ice for almost all of them. So the Hawks dropped their sixth straight game. Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen spoke to the media a little bit ago. Let's hear what his reaction was to this loss.
How is Colton Dock?
We'll see tomorrow. He, kind of day-to-day right now.
Like it was favoring his left arm or shoulder?
Yeah, something on his upper body. I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, but yeah, we'll find out here.
Well, we talked before the game how the starts were good and the rest wasn't. Today was kind of the opposite of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, they took it to us there in the first period, right? A lot of traffic, a lot of shots, a lot of extra rebounds and stuff. Spencer did a good job of keeping us in there. And then, yeah, the last two periods, I think we had the more quality of chances, but, yeah, didn't go our way.
That Trevor Moore goal, the first goal, was that a sorting issue where, you know, Slager was supposed to come up? No,
we should have killed the play on the blue line. We had the angle on it, so we should have just ended it there. Yeah.
Then, what happens after they get over the blue line? Is there still an issue as it's the play's developing?
Well, I think that's when we sagged back, right? Like we were right there, and then because we didn't end it when we had an opportunity, then everybody sagged back. Yeah.
Too far and didn't attack quickly enough?
Well, when he sat back, he gave him that extra space to come in and shoot, right? Yeah.
What adjustments did you make of the first intermission?
We just talked a little bit more about just trying to get out of our zone a little bit quicker. We thought our D did a really good job in the second or third of advancing pucks either with their feet or moving the puck up the ice. And forwards, too, did a better job of finding lanes to get open in, and that was a big difference.
Both guys in the room weren't necessarily thrilled with the power play tonight, even though you did get the one goal. Are these just moments where it's just a learning curve with Levchinov out there, or are there some things that you can tweak to bring his skill set more into it?
I think it's more learning, right? It's a really good players on the other side, and you got to come up with some speed, and you got to have some deception in your game there. Otherwise, they're going to pick it off pretty quick, right? You got to respect the other side of it, right? But that's a learning curve for him, right?
Speaking of which, he kind of killed a power play with a slashing penalty. Is that something, just another learning moment for him?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's part of it, yeah. I think it was off a turnover, right? So, yeah.
It's been about 3 weeks since you guys have gotten Spencer Knight. What have you thought just overall, just thoughts on him first? However many starts he's had so far.
Yeah, good. I mean, he like today gave us a chance to stay in the game in the first period, right? Really good down low, reads to play, handles the puck well, but there's lots to like.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about the 3-1 loss to the LA Kings. Fairly good news, maybe, on Colton Dock, that he's ruled day-to-day for now, but I'm not sure he kind of answered the question with, we'll know more tomorrow, before saying he's day-to-day right now. So I'm not sure the severity of that. Certainly looked like it, left arm, left wrist. I'm not sure. It was in immediate pain when he fell on the ice with his holding the stick in his two hands, and he kind of was bracing himself for the fall. I'm not sure if his wrist twisted in a weird way, but he was in some serious pain on the bench. He tried gutting it out for a couple minutes or however long, tried maybe shaking it off, waiting for the pain to maybe numb away. Like maybe it was kind of like an adrenaline thing where, you know, you feel something and you're hoping that it just goes away, but it didn't. And so then he went down to the tunnel, wasn't a bit available for the final few minutes for the Blackhawks. And that would be a tough loss for Colton, especially with 13 games to go. I think if you're the Blackhawks, these final few weeks are essentially an evaluation period for a lot of these young guys. I know for the veterans, it's not as huge of a deal unless you're, kind of auditioning for the next team. But guys like Dickinson, Foligno, and hopefully Donato, if he signs a contract extension with the Blackhawks, like, you know, those guys are going to be here next year and for the foreseeable future. So they're invested in this team as well. But for the young guys specifically, I mean, so many young players on this roster, with outside of Colton, it's Ethan Del Mastro and Wyatt Kaiser and Artem Levchinov, Alex Vlasic, Lucas Reichel, Landon Slaggart, even Joe Valeno. I mean, he gets traded from Detroit, and he finishes with a -2 rating, but he had a few chances, specifically on that penalty kill in the second period. Kind of gets a breakaway chance, forces the turnover on Drew Doughty, jumps on the loose puck, has a kind of a half breakaway chance. It gets denied by Darcy Kemper, and then later on in that same shift, right after the penalty had expired, he hits the post right when right after it went to full strength. And so I thought he had some moments in this game. Also finished with 3 hits, which was tied for a team high. And then you throw in Frank Nazar, Connor Bedard, and Spencer Knight, and Arvid Soderblom as well. So just a lot of young players on this roster that, you know, you don't want things to go too sideways, more than they already have over during this 6-game skid, and let the 13 games be meaningless down the stretch. And so, unfortunately for Colton, it sounds like he, you know, again, day to day, not sure if he's going to be available for the Saturday game in St. Louis, but if he does miss some time with this injury, calling it upper body, but obviously look like left arm, wrist, hand, whatever the case might be, it would be unfortunate for him, because it kind of stunts the, you know, whatever sample size that he could put together in the final few weeks of the season. And so I imagine the Hawks are trying to gather as much information as possible on a lot of their young players. By the way, not that this needs to be said, but the Blackhawks were officially mathematically eliminated from postseason contention And it actually comes during a time where I think the Washington Capitals became the first team in the NHL to clinch a playoff spot. I know they just did that earlier today with their win over Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference. And also, by the way, you know, as I was kind of watching, the LA is likely going to, I'm just like looking at the standings in the Western Conference, assuming that Vegas takes care of business in the Pacific Division, it looks like we're headed for another Edmonton-LA series in the first round. And it's going to be massive, whichever team gets home ice advantage, because you look at LA, they're 23-3-4 at home, but on the road, they went into this game 13-18-5, so now they're 14-18-5. So they seemingly are a different team at home than they are on the road. But Edmonton didn't have Leon Draisaitl in the game tonight because of an undisclosed injury. And then Connor McDavid left the game apparently tweaking a lower body injury in the second period. And I think Jeff Skinner left the game with an injury. So those are three massive pieces. I know Stuart Skinner, their goaltender. Jeff Skinner scored twice for Edmonton. That's why I had his name earlier reading his intermission updates. But Stuart Skinner, their starting goaltender, left the game as well. So those are three key pieces for the Edmonton Oilers. Stuart Skinner hasn't been great this year for Edmonton. He's had his moments. But something to monitor, especially if you're L.A., likely going to draw Edmonton in the first round, and it potentially gives them the inside track to get home ice advantage. And LA is still very much in the hunt to win the Pacific Division as well, because they are now only 3 points out from Vegas for the Pacific Division lead. And if Edmonton is going to be without McDavid and Draisaitl for the foreseeable future, or even Stuart Skinner, that could even give LA the inside track to potentially knock on the door to flirt with the top seed in the Pacific Division with Vegas. So it's going to be a nice three horse race among those three teams, but just something to monitor if you're an LA Kings fan. Hawks get eliminated from the playoffs. I think no one is surprised by that. But I do think going into this summer, it's going to be a big one for the Blackhawks, because I think at some point you want to start to see progress, and not just progress in the standings, or certainly progress in the standings, but you want to see the progress from some of the younger players that can get you excited about what is to come years down the road when the Blackhawks are starting to open up their playoff contending window and things like that. So hopefully it's not going to be too long until the Blackhawks start to make some fairly significant strides. But yeah, officially mathematically eliminated from the playoffs with this loss to LA. We got one more break to get to, and then we'll wrap things up on the Blackhawks postgame show. Get an Alex Ovechkin update on the other side. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show here at the United Center. Everyone is gone. Lonely now here. Hawks fall to the LA Kings 3-1. Let's get to some notable items that happened in the NHL today. By the way, Brandon Hagel, former Blackhawk, had 2 points in the game for Tampa Bay, a goal and an assist. He now matches his career high with 75 points. He is having a terrific season for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are a team to watch in the Eastern Conference that it's seemingly wide open. But how about the big story that I feels like the entire NHL has been following? Alex Ovechkin and his goal, his chase to Wayne Gretzky's record, found the back of the net in the game tonight against Philadelphia in their 3-2 win. 35th goal of the season. He is 6 away from tying Wayne Gretzky's record, and he's 7 away from passing Gretzky. So here's my question. At what point do NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky begin to follow Ovechkin? Because they're already on record saying that once Ovechkin starts to get close to the record, they're going to basically start arena hopping to make sure that they're both in attendance for when Ovechkin breaks this record. And so, I mean, I'm thinking like maybe when it's 4 goals away. I'm not sure. Like that would be tough if Alex Ovechkin had a 5-goal game randomly and Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky weren't there. So I imagine we're getting awfully close to Gary and Wayne Gretzky starting to kind of hunt down start arena hopping to see Alex Ovechkin break this record. The difficult part in this is the Blackhawks face the Washington Capitals in Washington on April 4th. And the Capitals have six games before then, so that the Chicago game would be their seventh. I mean, it's very possible that Ovechkin could be on goal watch or like on record watch in that game against the Chicago Blackhawks on April 4th, which is crazy to think about because it seemingly felt like yesterday that Alex Ovechkin recorded his 800th career NHL goal here at the United Center, and it was on a hat trick too. And I remember going into the visiting locker room after that game, and just Ovechkin's locker room stall was covered with hats. And so that's going to be an interesting thing to follow as we get closer to the April 4th game, whether all eyes are going to be on the Great 8 as he hunts down Wayne Gretzky's record, 7 away from 894. All right, one more thing. Let's get to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are going to be in St. Louis on Saturday at Enterprise Center, a 2 p.m. start. So fortunately, they're hitting the road just for a quick one-off. No 9 o'clock, 9:30 start, which is going to be very nice. But the St. Louis Blues, they opened a four-game homestand against Vancouver tonight. That was a massive game for playoff-type implications. The St. Louis Blues won 4-3 in overtime, so both teams pick up a point. But it was St. Louis that jumps Vancouver in the standings. Now they occupy the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. Having said that, Vancouver and Calgary both have games in hand on St. Louis. So Vancouver is 1 point back. Calgary is 2 points back with two games in hand. The points percentage for Vancouver and Calgary are 551. The points percentage for St. Louis is 550. So it's literally 0.001 difference. But right now, St. Louis occupies that spot, and they've been red hot. They're on a four-game winning streak, outscoring their opponents 20-7 over that stretch. And in the last 15 games, the Blues are 11-2-2. So they are fighting for their playoff lives, and they've played themselves back into playoff contention when I didn't think they would really get there about a month ago. Felt like they were trending the other direction, and I think that was, it was kind of caused or like a little bit of confusion on what St. Louis should do at the trade deadline, knowing that whether they were going to be flirting with the playoff spot or not. The last time the Blackhawks were in St. Louis was February 8th, and that was a 6-5 shootout loss that went 10 rounds. The Hawks let a 2-0 lead slip away in that game. They also let a 5-4 lead in the third slip away. That was the last game before the Four Nations break when the Hawks thought they were building some momentum. Unfortunately, they lose that game, so I'm sure the Blackhawks going into that one are going to hope to get a better taste in their mouth after they left one on the table in a 10-round shootout loss. So got Blackhawks-Blues Saturday at 2 p.m. Hawks are going to practice tomorrow, and then they're going to fly out to St. Louis, so we'll talk to you on Saturday. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Tony DeNardis. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zarang here at the United Center, and our captain back at the station, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 3-1 Blackhawks loss to the LA Kings. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday afternoon.